Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to bring to us during this time of study the revelation and the truth of this, your word, Father, to help us to grow thereby in faith and strength, and to help us to walk upon that straight path of righteousness, so that we, Father, can make heaven our home to spend eternity there with you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us through this study. And I ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be getting in to Acts chapter 3. You know, this morning coming through Acts 1 and 2, we learned when the church age started and what was to be in it. And we even heard the first prayer of the new church age. You know, we also found out that those that were followers of Jesus and believers in Jesus, that they was at the temple every day. Not like what our churches has got to today. We really, at one time, our churches, in fact, when I was younger, through my teen years even, you had Sunday services, Sunday morning, Sunday evening services. Then we had what we called Wednesday prayer meeting. But then you also had an evening for the ladies and an evening for the men and the young people's meeting. So actually, just about every day, there was something going on in our churches then. Now, half or more than half of our churches today are meeting one time a week, Sunday morning. They don't even have Sunday evening service. And then we have some that do have Sunday morning and Sunday evening and nothing else the rest of the week. And also we have found out by statistics that right now we have lost a little over half of all of our churches closed down. And that the people never really want them open again. We're living in a day and time that is becoming awful perilous and risky to mankind because of the way mankind has grown away from Almighty God. And, you know, I believe that that's the reason the Lord led me back to having this studies every morning and every night, every day, because that was the way the church used to work. All right, now, we found that out this morning in his word. As we begin here with verse 1 here in chapter 3, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. You see, they had regular prayer times. Most of us don't, but they had regular prayer times. 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Because you see, he had no other way of having a living, but he had become a beggar. It was the only way he could live. He couldn't work. He had to be carried and even laid at the gate there at the temple. 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms before them. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now they're telling him to look at him. 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, raise up and walk. Now here he is, lame, you know, from birth. He had never walked. Now he's telling him to raise up and walk. He didn't have money, silver or gold to give him, which is really what the man was expecting. But he's about to give him something far greater. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, you know, for this miracle to happen of healing his legs and all, he had never walked, so he had to be also given balance. And knowing how to take steps, that also had to be given to him at the time that his legs were healed. But you know, once you are off of your legs for a period of time, even if you can still move them, but you can be off of them for 3 or 4 months, and you end up having to go through rehab in order to get your balance back walking on. You say, no, why would you have to do that? That's just the way it is. Because you hadn't been on so long, the balance is gone. I know, I worked with them people. 18 years I worked in the hospital and working with all types of sickness and disease and all. So I know how a lot of these things do work. And here, he's reached and got him by the hand, raised him up on his feet. He got up, leaping, and he's walked into the temple with them. 9. Then all the people saw him walking and praising God. 10. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. This is something that was hard for them to really understand, but yet they were in amazement and wonder at the happenings of it. 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now you know, according to Jewish reckoning, the day actually began at 6 a.m. And hence, the ninth hour of the day is 3 p.m. And that's when most use that time as their prayer time. And that's what these apostles were doing. Now, and, you know, the Jewish prayer time was held in conjunction with the evening sacrifice, which was at 3 o'clock, an offering of incense. Peter and John commonly went to the temple to pray at this hour. Think about that. And the Greek imperfect tense could well be translated, used to go up. In other words, they used that hour to go up to the temple there at 3 o'clock to pray. Now, 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk?" Now, you know, a lot of these passages demonstrate some very important truths regarding Bible miracles. They always involve demonstrable physical needs so that they are signs. They involve a complete and perfect work, which also involve genuine biblical faith. That is, there's nothing special about the lame man's faith, nor about Peter's. Rather, faith is man's responding to God's word and his will. Faith is believing God concerning what he has said, knowing God's will, and then acting on it. This man was healed because God willed it as a sign, and then because Peter acted on what God's Spirit witnessed to him. And salvation is a supernatural work of God, but it is never described in Scripture as a sign of miracle. That's not what it's given for. But what kind of faith are you and I walking in this day and through this time? Now, Peter here, in talking with the people, he's telling them, says, "Why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" You see, excuse that phone ringing, I can't get to it. Real quick in a minute. 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. You see, once again, now Peter is on them about the way that they treated the Lord and Savior, because they are the ones that caused his crucifixion. Pilate had to be the one to give the order for it. But he was doing it because he was afraid of the group and that mob that was gathering that kept crying for him to be crucified. And he finally gave in to please them and to calm them down and gave the order for it to be done. Because naturally, he wasn't a follower of the Lord Jesus to begin with. They had their own beliefs, the Romans did. But he, even with talking with Jesus, he had told the people he could find no fault in him worthy of death. That they just kept because they wanted to get rid of him. Because he was preaching something they couldn't understand. And let me tell you something. Today, in our own very land in which we live, right here in the United States of America, we are just about to be in the same shape as they were because of the unbelief and the evil that has been brought in to our land and brought out to the people and calling good evil and evil good. They turned it around and they are a lot of them already that wants nothing to do with you and I when we preach and teach the truth of God's word, and they would like to see us gotten rid of. And it is coming that one day that's exactly what will happen with us. That's why they are so very few today that are actually standing boldly teaching the word of God, is because they know that this is coming and it's coming faster than what most believe, and they're afraid. So they're preaching things that will tickle the ears of those that hear. But when it comes down to really giving them life through eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, no, it will not. Now, you see, he's let them know, now coming through there, that it wasn't by their own power. Here in 14, he says, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, is exactly what they did. They turned Jesus down and they accepted Barnabas. Now, and he was an insurrectionist and a murderer. 15. He told them what they had done there. In 15, and says, and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. That name of the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly what brought that healing into being. That's why those that are born again today that have the Holy Spirit living in them, they have been given the authority to use the name of Jesus to do whatever God will call upon them to go and do. And therefore, that's why there is nothing impossible for us to do. Think about it. The only limitations we have is ourselves. Now, 17. And now, brother, I wrote that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Everything the prophets of the Old Testament had prophesied has all come about now. Most, when they pray, they go to God, and if they are asking for healing in their prayer and the way they make it, they say, Lord, come and heal me. He's not coming back to heal, but he's already gave the healing. It was given to you and I at the cross. The problem is we have to learn how to receive it and accept it and bring it in to this body of ours for it to work. It's already given. That's why we are told, by his stripes ye are healed. Didn't say no might, no maybe. Says ye are. The only might or maybe in there is you. God gave it. It's been given. Now, 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You know, Peter's second sermon also focuses on the person of Jesus Christ, showing that he is the healer of this man, and that his suffering demonstrates him to be the Messiah, and that the delay in his kingdom is due to their unbelief. And Peter literally commands, actually in verse 19, repent, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And the word translated when is used over 50 times in the New Testament. And only here is translated when it should be translated that, showing the purpose for our the result of the promised forgiveness. Israel's nationwide repentance will precede the return of Christ to establish his kingdom. Peter's sermon teaches these three things. One, God's accent program concerning his kingdom is unchanged. Two, this program awaits the return of Christ. And three, Israel will share in it. And we know that because we know that Israel is God's chosen people. And you and I, we that are Gentiles, when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and we repent, we fulfill that plan of salvation, we are adopted into the Jewish family also. Think about that. Now, 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. That takes us back in to the Old Testament, which we are going through also. Now, 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And he is talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he is the Son of God. He is our Savior. He is the Messiah. But he is also a prophet of God. He carries many titles. And he was sent to make a way for you and I to be able to reach our Heavenly Father and enter into eternal life with them in heaven. Now, 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. And we are still to be telling of these days. And we do if we stay with our studies actually in the truth of the Word of Almighty God. But we've got to stay in that word with truth and not take it apart and turn it upside down, add to it, take away from it to make it say what we want it to say. But teach it as it says. Now, 25. Ye are the children of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And you see, he kept that promise because all, and regardless of what nation you are from or living in, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in his word, then you are his child. And you are walking in the covenant that he made with Abraham. That covenant, it goes on here to say, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And you see, we know that it works and is still working today throughout the world. Everywhere that the word is being truly taught and spoken, it is being used to bless others that had not heard it before. Now, 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. In other words, turning you away from your sins and the evil that has been with and in you. And only, that can only be done through his son, Jesus Christ. He's our only way of salvation. He is our only way to the Heavenly Father. It all goes through him. Everything. And what we receive from God, the Father, comes back to you and I through him by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You need to understand this and know that we need to be walking in fellowship with him. That means that we are to walk in obedience to him and to his word, which means we need to study his word and spend more than 10, 15 minutes once a week in the Bible. Now, as I said earlier, we know that in the beginning, the way the church was established on that day of Pentecost, Peter told mankind what they needed to do. And they did it. And then the church, the temple, received them, and they went to the temple daily. They had regular times set up for their prayer, and most used the ninth hour as one of their times. That was 3 p.m. in the evening. We knew that. Now, we've come to the end of chapter 3. So God willing, in the morning, we'll be going into chapter 4. As I told them this morning, and I'll make the statement again this evening, in case we've got some here that wasn't with us this morning. We're going to be using Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in the Old Testament. I mean, in the New Testament. We're going to be using Thursday to finish out the four Gospels. We've only got one more chapter left in Luke, and then we have the book of John to go through. And then we're finished with that. But then on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we will be back into the Old Testament. You see, we still haven't gone completely through the Bible yet. But we're getting closer. And I pray that we are learning a lot of things and bringing a lot of things back to our memory that we had forgotten. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word up, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, praise you. Praise your holy name, Father. And Father, we pray for Israel. We pray, Father, for them to have peace. Because we know that at the present time, they're having very little of that. Death and destruction has come upon your people there, Father. Now, Father, we also pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land that loves Jesus. Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them in health, keep them safe, and see to their needs. From this land of ours, Father, that has brought so much evil upon its own people, Father, we're praying that the evil leadership we have in our government and in some of our churches, for them to be replaced with ones, Father, that belong to you, that love you, love your church, love the Lord Jesus, love your people, and love this country, and that will work with us to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed. And our government put back upon the foundation which it was founded, in that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for those that listen to this study and that have become a part of it, we pray for them. For for Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, for Amy and her husband Tom, her son Jacob, for James Taylor, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, and Father, for that young couple, Courtney and Shane. They stand in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, work with them. Let them realize that need and how it can change their life. And Father, myself, my wife, my family, pray for each and every one for healing for all. For your blessings, Father, upon us all. Use us all for your will and your way, doing the work that needs to be done here on this earth, so that the Lord, Father, can come for his church. Now, Father, I ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, everyone. I pray you have a great evening and a good night and a restful time. Good night, all.